So we're back in the parables, the Kingdom of God series. We've had a nice break over summer doing some kind of individual sermons that people think of, hopefully know that God has given them to say. And I've really enjoyed them. I've found that there's been a pattern weaving through, which is great. It confirms that God is guiding us and leading us. But we're back into the Kingdom of God series now. And we're going to go into a section of the series which is going to focus on the parables of the kingdom. So it's parables that Jesus shared to explain what the kingdom is like. So first off, what is a parable? Well, parables have been called earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. So it's when Jesus uses an illustration that contains earthly things that we can relate to, things that we can see, things that we can touch, in order to potentially reveal a heavenly meaning or a spiritual meaning. Now, you might notice I used the word potentially reveal there, potentially reveal a spiritual meaning. And I use that on purpose, and it's important, and that's something we'll come back to later on. So let's just keep that in mind, that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And very often the heavenly meaning is to do with the nature of the kingdom of God. But secondly, after we ask the question, what is a parable? I think we need to ask the question, why did Jesus speak in parables? But I want to couple that question with, who were the parables for? So why and who are they for? But I want to let Jesus answer that question for us, because it's in the text that we've got today. But to get there, we need to read a part of the scripture first. So this morning, we're going to look at a couple of the parables that Jesus used to illustrate the kingdom. And I mainly want to read the scriptures this morning without too much elaboration. And hopefully you'll understand why I'm doing that as we go along. So let's read together Matthew chapter 13. And we'll read verses 1 to 9 together first. So Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Okay, so now we come to verse 10, and the disciples ask our question we've got. So verse 10. Then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? So that's our second question, right? We looked at what a parable is. Now the second question, why do you speak to them in parables? So let's let Jesus answer the question. Verse 11. And he answered them, to you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, You will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. And with their ears, they can barely hear. And their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. A lot of people think that Jesus spoke in parables to make things clearer. That's not true. Let me clarify that. That's not the complete truth. When Jesus first started his ministry, he spoke plainly. For example, the Sermon on the Mount. It wasn't a story. It wasn't an illustration. It was plain truth. Clear. But the people in the main, they don't believe him. They don't follow him. They hear, but they don't understand. Their hearts have become dull and their eyes become closed. They could still at any point have turned to him. And he would have healed them. And he would have had compassion on them. And he would have given them understanding. But they didn't. See, the part of the parable with the earthly illustration is only half the parable. And if you leave that part on its own, it's actually quite confusing. You need Jesus to explain the parable to get the complete picture, to gain the complete understanding. And who does he give the interpretation of the parable to? His disciples. Listen very carefully to this. Who are disciples? Those who are following Jesus. So who does Jesus give the complete understanding to? Those who are following him. In the book of Mark, we see that there was others who followed Jesus to listen to the interpretation. So listen, when he gave the first half of the parable, who was there? You might have to go back to look. Loads, like great crowds, yeah? So many that he had to get into a boat and he had to go out and sit in the boat. You get the impression that there was loads of people for the first half of his parable, right? And he gives the first part of the parable, but then who hangs around for the second part? The people who followed him, the disciples. Who got the understanding? The people who followed him. Who missed the understanding? The people who didn't follow him, the crowds. So Jesus spoke in parables to reveal whose hearts were not dull and whose ears wanted to hear. Is this making sense? Jesus spoke in parables to kind of see who wanted more, right? Whose hearts hadn't grown dull, whose ears weren't closing, whose eyes wanted to see more. That's who the parables were for. Now, all of the crowds could have heard the first part of the parable, and maybe they said things like, oh, that was a very interesting talk today, wasn't it? Oh, and then they go off. And they do jack all about it. No, nothing. No more. They don't follow Jesus. They're not really interested in him. It was just a nice story that he told and then they went off. That was interesting, but not interesting enough for me to want more. And there was other people there who heard that first part. And they were like, I need to know more about this. I need to know more about this. So what did they do? They followed Jesus. And to those that followed him, they got more. He gave them the understanding. So let's move on now to where Jesus explains the interpretation of the first parable he told to them, and that's in verses 18 to 23. So let's read those verses together. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what's been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So do you see how the two things tie together? Some people hear and they go away. They've only had half the deal. They don't understand. They don't seek to understand. Some people hear and they're really keen at the beginning, but then they fall away. But some hear, follow Jesus, and understand and produce fruit. But to understand, they had to follow Jesus. Does that make sense? They had to follow Jesus to understand, because he had to explain to them what he meant in the first half. See, the thing about not understanding something is at first it reveals to us that we don't know something. And that can make us feel a little bit silly sometimes. I'll speak for myself. And lots of people are so proud, like when they don't understand something, that they don't want to look silly, and so they don't want to ask the question, what do you mean? It takes humility to say, I don't understand what you're on about. Follow Jesus and then ask him, what do you mean? Do you see that? Like the disciples, like everyone else, heard the first part, but they were like, I ain't got a clue what Jesus was just on about then. And I know there was people in the crowd who saw that as well. There must have been. Of course there was. And they were like, you know what? Sounded good, but I ain't got a clue what he's talking about. I'm off. But the disciples like, I haven't got a clue what he's talking about, but I love this guy and I trust him. And that just means that, like, I'm not on his level. And I want to know what he means. I want to know what he means. So I'm going to follow him and I'm going to ask him what he means. And what did Jesus do? He explained it. He explained it to them. And it's a divider, isn't it? Some people want to go deeper, and some people don't. You can even get it in like sermons. You use a big word like justification. And they're like, I don't get it. I don't get what he's on about, justification. Why can't he explain it to me in normal terms? And then you get the others that say, I don't understand that. What did you mean? So that's why I use the phrase that Jesus potentially reveals the meaning of the parable. He reveals it to those who have ears to hear. Who want to hear and understand. That's who he reveals it to. Those who want to hear and understand. Those whose hearts have not grown dull. Those who have turned to him, looked to him, and he has given understanding. So I guess the first thing to say about this whole thing as we move into a section about parables is this. If your hearts are dull to God, and if your ears are like dull of hearing, you're going to find this section that we're going through now very boring and very confusing. But if you're seeking Jesus, if you have a genuine hunger for him, then the parables can convey such great volumes of truth to you and give you such memorable imagery that they can change your whole life. Some of them are hard. Most of them are hard. And they contain things that might make you say, oh no, I can't be bothered with that. As we're about to see. But if you have ears to hear, and if you keep following Jesus, even after he said something you don't understand, then there can be a massive blessing in your life. So now let's read the second parable and the interpretation. So first the parable, let's read that together in verse 24. He put another parable before them saying, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? And he said to them, An enemy has done this. So the servants said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then Jesus tells another couple of parables, but I'm not going to go through those ones. We're just going to go to the interpretation of the one I just read, okay? So that's in verse 36 now. So this is, again, look, in verse 36, he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. So again, they didn't understand the first half of the parable. And that's okay. If you keep following Jesus and ask him for the understanding of it. So his disciples came and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. So like I said, Jesus has interpreted the parable for us already. So I don't want to say too much more, apart from making a few observations. And if God has spoken to you something already, as Jesus explained the parable, then just like make a mental note of them, okay? Because Jesus is really clear. He was like, this is this, this is this, this is this. This is this. He makes it really clear for them. He's talking about judgment and he's talking about hell. And who's he talking to? His disciples. Okay? So I'm just going to make a few observations. Firstly, this parable is so good for us because it explains to us what's happening right now. And it explains to us what's going to happen in the future. It goes towards explaining why things are the way they are now and what's going to happen in the future. And it's so important for us to understand. So the first thing to note is that Jesus, the Son of Man, is the one who owns the world. He's the king over all. He's the king over this world. And he scatters the children of the kingdom across the world. Now, if at any point you feel like I'm saying something the scripture doesn't say or going on, please tell me. It might be daunting, but we're family. Tell me. So he scatters the children of the kingdom over the field, which is the world. Now, this is a simple thought, but it's a good one. If you are a child of the kingdom, someone who has trusted Jesus as their king and is following him, then it's by his hand that you are where you are. I love this because however you cut it, whether you think it was your own bad decisions, whether you think it's because you did this, you did that, blah, 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 ultimately, it's by the hand of King Jesus that you are where you are in the field. Okay? Let that encourage you. Second, from this I know that not everyone in the field is a child of the kingdom. And again, this is completely obvious, isn't it? But there's things flying around all the time that people say, everyone's God's child. Everyone's God's children. And I need to have a little like chat with them, see what they mean, because not everyone is God's child. Everyone's God's creation. He made everybody. But to be a child of God, you've got to repent and trust in Christ. What's it say in 1 John? To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to be called children of God. To those who haven't believed in his name, the Bible actually says that they're children of the devil. And I know that's really strong language, but that's what the Bible says. I was a child of the devil before I was a child of God. You have to turn and trust in Jesus to be given the right to be called a child of God. So you have the children of the kingdom, but they're intermingled with the children of the enemy. Again, if you feel like I'm outstretching Jesus' own analogy, please just say. Okay, because it says an enemy came and sowed the other stuff. So yeah, they're children of the enemy. You've got the children of God, and they're intermingled together. That's important. In the same field. Right? Listen carefully, right? This is the way it's meant to be. It's not a mistake. This is the way it's meant to be. We're not meant to separate ourselves off into another field with just wheat in. We are meant to be intermingled. We have to be intermingled. The farmer knows what's going on. That's the other thing I love about this. They're like, they go to the farmer and they're like, what's going on? Like, there's all weeds in your field. And he's like, yeah, I know. I know. An enemy did it. God's not looking down on the world thinking, oh no, what's going on? He's like, I know what's going on. I've sown my children. The enemy has sown his. And they're all growing up together. They're all together. I know what's going on. I'm not out of control of my field. Okay? The farmer wants both to grow together. The third thing I notice is this. That we're not meant to separate. God is. Right? So, in other words, you know, his helpers come to him and they're like, ah, there's weeds everywhere. Do you want us to go and quickly get the wheat? In other words, do you want us to sort it out, God? It looks like you're out of control, right? It looks like you're out of control. Should I go and sort it out quick? Remember, like, is it James and what's the other son of thunder? John, isn't it? James and John. They're like, God, do you want me to call fire down from heaven and burn up all your enemies? It's a bit like that. It's like, do you want me to sort it out, God? You know, I know you say you're in control, but it looks mad down here in this field. Let me go and sort it out. And he's like, no. What I'm doing is intentional. They're going to grow up together. And then when I decide at harvest time, I'm going to separate them. Not you. Why? This is so simple, but if you get it, it'll help you in this life. Because it's not the right time. Am I the only one who thinks, God, why don't you sort everything out now? Am I being too honest? I'm the only one of my own. Did you think that? Lord, there's these evil people out there doing evil things. You could just stop them just like that. Why don't you? Because it's not the right time. I will separate them in my time when the harvest is ready. It's not harvest time yet. And in the past, humans have tried to make it harvest time so often in many different ways. They've tried to separate true believers from false believers themselves. You can go and have a look at it throughout human history. And do you know what happens when you try and do it, we try and do it? Everything just gets ripped up. Everything just gets ripped up. God will do the sowing when it's harvest time. We are not God's gatherers. Who are his gatherers? The angels, his angels. And when it's harvest time, at the end of the age, listen to what I'm saying now. A trumpet will go off. And, like, you lot might be better theologians than me, but I can't see anything stopping that happening at any point in time now. I think a trumpet could go off at any moment. And that's harvest time. That's the end of the age. And God sends out his angels across the whole field. And his angels separate the weeds from the wheat. The children of the enemy will be gathered and separated, and then they'll be cast into the fiery furnace. That's eternal punishment. That's hell. But the righteous will shine like the sun in God's kingdom. Now, what I'm about to say isn't mean and it isn't horrible, and I love you. But if the trumpet goes off and you're not in the kingdom of God, you will go to hell. So the word weeds in our translation is slightly misleading. It's actually tares. And the word tare refers to this crop called darnel. And if you look into what darnel is, it's so weird. There's a nickname for it. It's called fake wheat. It's called mimic wheat. And as it grows up with the wheat, it looks exactly the same as wheat. You can Google it when you go home, darnel, right? It looks like wheat at the beginning. You can't tell the difference between the true wheat and the tares. But it's poison wheat. As it's growing up, it looks the same. But it's only when it reaches fruition that it looks different from real wheat. And like when wheat reaches its full fruition, it looks different from darnel. It's a little bit like sheep and goats. When you look at them from afar, they look the same. But God's going to separate them at the end to separate the genuine from the counterfeit in his perfect judgment. I want to give you a picture, a story, or an analogy. If I want to buy some apple tree seeds, I'll go down to the garden centre. And what's the first thing I'll be looking for? A packet with a picture of an apple tree on it, right? A packet. Do I know the seeds in there are apple tree seeds? No. I've been given an impression that they are by the packaging. But what's the only way I'll really know if those seeds are apple tree seeds? Because when I plant it in the ground, after a bit, it'll make a tree. And even then, I still won't know. It's when the fruit comes. When the fruit comes, I'll know that they were apple tree seeds. A Christian's profession of faith is the packet. So you saying you're a Christian is your packet. Yeah? Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. Now, I want you to hear me right on this. I don't know whether the Queen was a Christian or not. I genuinely don't. Like, you have all these people proclaiming that she was a Christian and that, and, you know, going on what she's saying, if I had to bet on it, I'd probably say yeah. But I don't know. Only God does. Because all the things she was saying was her packet. But from the fruit of what she was doing, you get more of an idea. See, loads of people say they're Christians. Maybe not loads, but you know what I mean. And that's the packet. There's no fruit. So the farmer knows that the wheat is wheat when it comes to fruition. And it has that head of wheat. He knows that the darnel is darnel because it doesn't have that. And so it's then that he can separate them. It's then that he can separate them off. I was once a tare. I was once darnel. Before I knew Jesus, before I trusted him, I was a child of the enemy. I was not a child of God. I would listen to parables. I would try and read the Bible. And I would say, no thanks, not interested. I was rocky ground. And then something started happening. I started becoming more interested. I knew I needed help. God was drawing me to him with his love. He was like calling me. Jesus showed me how much he loved me. That even though he was the king of all, he laid down his life on a cross to die for me. And one day, I just cried out to Jesus to save me. I just said, Jesus, save me. And he did. And what happened then is that old weed, that old Darnell, died. And he planted me into his kingdom as new wheat. And as Colossians said, he transferred me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus, where I have forgiveness of sins. So what's the application now as we finish? What's the application of this? It's really simple. And I'm so glad because Jesus said it for me. Look at verse 43. This is the application. The last part of verse 43. He who has ears, let him hear. That's Jesus' application to his parable. He who has ears, let him hear. If you're not a child of the kingdom, then it's an emergency situation. It's an emergency situation. But there is great news that by trusting him, just believing that what he says is true and following him, then in an instant he will transfer you to his kingdom. In an instant. But my question has to be like, why don't you do that now? Like, if you know you're not a child of the kingdom, why don't you just say to Jesus, save me? Like, cry out to him. And in a moment he'll transfer you. You don't know when the trumpet's going to go off. Don't delay. Like, today is the day of salvation. If you hear this morning and understand, not just with deaf ears, not just with dull ears, if you've heard his voice, if you've heard his voice, then turn to him and trust him. Turn to him and trust him. He's trustworthy. He's more trustworthy than anyone else. Trust him, and he will bring you into his kingdom. You will be saved. But remember who Jesus was speaking to here? It wasn't to everybody who'd wandered off. It was to the disciples. So the application to those of you who are following Jesus is exactly the same. Hear and understand. Hear what Jesus has said in the parable this morning and understand. And there might be bits that you struggle with. Same here. Same here. But I keep following Jesus and I trust him. In spite of me not understanding everything. Don't just run away like from the harder things. Don't just run away from judgment and stuff like that. But seek to go deeper with him. Because when we really understand the things in this parable and what's going on, it's going to affect the way we live so massively. So let's just keep seeking to understand together as we follow Jesus.